the shiur I'm going to give tonight, I saw something a few weeks ago that sort of inspired the whole shiur. The title of the shiur is "If I Only Had a Heart, Crying on Rosh Hashanah is a Lesson for Life." So Rabbi Moshe Rosenberg, who's a rabbi in Kew Garden Hills in Queens, and also maybe more famously known for his books on Harry Potter and Judaism, Harry Potter and the Megillah, Harry Potter and the Haggadah, Harry Potter and Parsha. So a few weeks ago, I saw a blog post of his that where he shared that he's currently going through cancer treatment for prostate cancer. And he shared that he's part of a support group for cancer patients. And he was speaking with the group. He'd written to the group and said that he was taking a certain medicine to staunch the tears caused by my microscopic testosterone level due to the treatment. Basically, he was overly crying. He was crying a lot. He would just spontaneously start to cry. His eyes would water and tear. And he got a lot of positive responses back, you know, feedback and encouragement and sympathy. But there was one message from another co-cancer patient who said the following: I'm also dealing with aggressive prostate cancer. What the loss of testosterone has taken for me, among other obvious things, is the ability to cry. I miss that, but I'm grateful to still be here. And so Rabbi Rosenberg says, you know, and he never really thought about this. He's concerned. He's complaining, if you can even say that, about the fact that he's having over crying, and here somebody else is having this condition where they can't even cry at all. And he wondered to himself, what would be worse? Is it being unable to cry, or always crying? And if I had more time, I'd put a poll on over here to sort of ask you, I guess ask yourselves now to think about this. What would you prefer? What do you think would be better, to always be crying or never to be able to cry? And so that sort of leads us into Rosh Hashanah with the question, should we be crying on Rosh Hashanah? So at first glance, Rosh Hashanah seems replete with the concept, with the theme of crying. I mean, that seems to be the theme du jour of Rosh Hashanah. If we start with the Torah readings of Rosh Hashanah, so forget about it. Let's take a step back. The name Rosh Hashanah itself, the name the Torah gives us for Rosh Hashanah is Yom Teruah. And the Targum Onkelos says on Yom Teruah, Yom Yevavah. It's a day of crying. It's a day of crying. That's Rosh Hashanah's name, a day of crying. And then you go to the Torah reading in the Haftorah. We have on the first day, Hagar crying for Yishmael when it seems like he's going to die. We have Chana crying for a child. The second day we have Rachel Mivaka Abaneha, right? Rachel crying for her children. And then we have the Akedas Yitzchak, which, although not written expressly, and not expressly written in the Psukim, any mention of crying, but if you think about it for a second, you know, who possibly could have been crying in that story there, Akedas Yitzchak? So again, if we were in person, I would have asked you to offer suggestions. I would say the obvious is either Avraham, right? Avraham, the father, about to slaughter his son that was promised as the continuation of the Jewish people, of his people, of his lineage, and he's holding the knife over him that he might have a tear and start to cry. Or maybe it's Yitzchak, who is about to be slaughtered with the knife from his father above his head, his life flashing before his eyes, to start to tear and cry. And that's who I would have thought. Those were the two people that readily come to my mind. But when I asked my kids, they surprised me, and they said, well, maybe it was Hashem that was crying. Which is very profound and very deep, and that's a whole nother shiur about Hashem crying on Rosh Hashanah. But there is a lot of truth to that, if you think about it, because the Medrash tells us one of the reasons possibly why Yitzchak was blind or hard of seeing is because of the tears of the angels when he was laying there and the angels crying as he's about to be slaughtered go into his eyes, causing him to be blind. And the angels perhaps are a manifestation or representative of a Hashem crying. But regardless, that there is that possibility of crying there. What about the shofar sounds themselves? Where do we learn about the shofar, the requirement of the number of shofar sounds? From Aim Sisra, from the mother of Sisra, 100 sounds, the Gemara tells us, from the mother of Sisra, in the story where her son doesn't come home. It's crying, she's crying over him. And the shofar sounds themselves are referred to as different types of crying. So again, you see this whole theme of crying surrounding Rosh Hashanah, right? So it would seem appropriate that we should move ourselves to tears on Rosh Hashanah. And the Arizal, which the Be'er Heitiv quotes in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Dalet, writes that the Arizal would cry on Rosh Hashanah, and he said that if anybody is not overcome by crying during these days, it's an indication the individual's soul is incomplete and unrefined. Okay, that might be a little bit harsh, a little bit difficult for us to accept and to hear, but there's definitely some truth to that. That tears, when we cry, it represents something. So that's the Arizal, crying on Rosh Hashanah, the importance of crying on Rosh Hashanah and what it represents. But on the other hand, we have the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, recorded in Sefer Maaseh Rav, where it says that a person should not cry on Rosh Hashanah. And he says, based on the story in Nehemiah, when the Jewish people came back, and it's Rosh Hashanah day itself, and the Jewish people are there, and Ezra is reading them from the Torah. They want him to read from the Torah, so he starts to read them from the Torah, and they start crying. And Ezra and Nehemiah say to them, "What? Why are you crying? Don't cry. You should. Today is not a sad day. You shouldn't be crying. You shouldn't be mourning. Today is a day to be happy, to be to celebrate, to go eat, go back home, eat and drink, and be make this a day holy with Hashem. Don't cry." And so, therefore, the Gra would make sure that the Chazan wouldn't use tunes that were sad and depressing. He would use uplifting Yom Tov tunes because it's supposed to be a happy day, not a day for sadness and depression and despair. So which one is it? Is it appropriate or is it inappropriate to cry on Rosh Hashanah? There's a story of Soloveitchik's father, of Moshe Soloveitchik, where one time he was standing there before the shofar blowing, and the Chabad shofar blower who was standing next to him, the Chabad chassid, started to cry before he blew the shofar. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik turns to him. He says, "You know, why are you crying?" He said, "What do you mean? It's the shofar. I'm blowing the shofar now. Do you know what the shofar represents? The shofar." And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says to him, "Well, before you take the lulav and esrog, do you start to cry? Do you cry? Because that's also very deep. There's a lot of meaning to it, what it can do for us spiritually. They're both commandments of Hashem, they're both mitzvos. Why are you crying before the shofar blowing?" So we have these two opposites, these contradictory approaches of the Arizal and the Gra. Do we cry on Rosh Hashanah or do we not? And many of the Achronim, Rav Chaim Brisk, Rav Sternbach, Rav Avad Yosef, many others, try to offer an explanation and say that really it's no contradiction. Because if a person is crying out of closeness to Hashem, if the person is crying because they're aroused by the holiness of the day, that's why they're emotional, then it's okay to cry. It's appropriate to cry. Like when the mother of the chassan, or mother of the kala, mother at the wedding, marrying off their child, starts to cry, and the kids turn and say, "Ima, mommy, why are you crying? Is everything okay? What happened? Did the caterer forget to put something out? Did somebody not show up?" And she says, "No, I'm crying because I'm so happy." And crying can be an expression of happiness, an expression of closeness to Hashem. To just cry when it's because we're sad, because we're depressed, because we have despair, there's no hope. That's what in Ezra and Nehemiah were telling the Jewish people. In that kind of situation, don't find despair, don't be depressed, don't say that there's no hope. We just came back. We're on the path. We're getting there. That is not the approach we should take. And Rav Soloveitchik, just to strengthen this, Rav Soloveitchik writes in Halachic Man, in response to the Chabad Chassid crying before shofar blowing, trying to explain that, he says, man's weeping on Rosh Hashanah, according to this doctrine, is the weeping of the soul that longs for its origin, for the rock from whence it was hewn. Okay, along those lines, we say every Shabbos, it's from the Perek of Tehillim, Hazorim Bedima Barina Yiktzoru, right? Which I think literally translated, you would say, those that plant with tears, right? It may be difficult to plant. It's hard work. Barina Yiktzoru. Eventually, you will celebrate. You will be happy because you will harvest what you planted. But I think that we can also explain this a little bit differently, al pidrush, just by moving the comma over one place. Hazorim bedima birina yiktzoru. A person that's going through a difficult time, that's in a difficult situation, that's crying because of what's going on in their life, in the current reality, but birina, they stay happy. They recognize that it's from Hashem. And even though they may be sad, it is a challenge. It is difficult, but they recognize it's from Hashem. So therefore, they're able to maintain their, I don't want to say joy because it's still difficult, but at least they understand it. Then yiktzoru. Then eventually they will succeed. They will reap the benefits because they see that everything's from Hashem. We don't know why Hashem does certain things. We don't know why Hashem made Corona come now and so many people sick and so many people in quarantine, not able to see family and friends for so long, grandparents for so long. But ultimately, Yiktzoru, ultimately, we recognize that there's a reason, there's a purpose, and God willing, if we maintain that perspective, then we'll be able to see in the end why it all happened, and we will celebrate with that. And my Ilana, my wife, just told me this when I was sharing this with her today, when she was a counselor in Camp Seg many years ago, Mrs. Trapp, one of the counselors, said, if you look at the continuation of the psukim, haloch yelech uvacha, somebody that just goes around all day crying. So nosei meshech hazara. So what are they going to get? They're gonna have with them just a few seeds in their hand. That's it. It's not even a like they planted and they get a little bit of wheat instead of a lot. They get nothing. They're left holding their original seeds. But bo yavo verina, somebody that goes around with joy, recognizes that everything's from Hashem. Nose alumosav. Ultimately, they will carry bundles and they will reap a large bounty, a large crop, and see that ultimately everything that happened was for the good. Okay, one last source, and then we'll end with a story. So the Gemara in Bracho says, Amar Reb Lazar, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash Nin Alu Sharei Tfila, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the gates of prayer were locked, they were closed. It's very difficult now. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, we could go to Hashem's house. We were right there next to Him, figuratively. And our tefillos were able to go from here to there very easily. But now that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it's like a vast gap between us. It's like the gates of prayer are closed. However, the Gemara continues and says, however, Sharei Dima Lo ninalu, that even though the gates of prayer were locked and closed, and it makes it that much more difficult for our prayers to be answered, the gates of tears, the gates of when we cry, are never locked, are never closed. And those tears help lubricate and move along our prayers so that they're answered and heard by Hashem. That I think is the pashut pshat of the Gemara. But I think perhaps we can also say that the gates of tears here that we're talking about, the Shari Dim'ah, is not the gates, these gates up in heaven that are not closed, but rather Shari Dim'ah in our heart. The gate of tears of our heart, of our own individual, each and every one of our own hearts, are never closed. Meaning that just one Dim'ah, notice the language of the Gemara, Shari Dim'ah, it says it in the singular, Shari Dim'ah, just one tear comes out, our emotional prison of inhibitions are released, and it opens a floodgate, allowing us to reconnect with Hashem and allowing our tefillos to reach Him. And I think that you see this idea, and really everything that we've been talking about, from the following story about Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, and with this we'll end. Incredible story. I'd read this book from Out of the Depths, from his autobiography years ago. And then over, I guess it was Yom HaShoah, I heard him speak online, and he recounted this story, and it was so powerful to hear him share it again. And it's really an incredible story. Sorry. So he shares that after the Americans came and the Holocaust was over, he was in Buchenwald as a child. He and many other orphans were sent to France to Equace, I think that's how you pronounce it, I'm not sure. Equace, to an orphanage in Equace. And they lived there for a number of weeks, and after a few weeks, the head of the orphanage came over to them, a number of the children there. She said, "Listen, children, tomorrow we're going to have a number of visitors, a number of dignitaries, the mayor, the head of the police, and other donors to the orphanage coming tomorrow, and they want to give you presents, and they want to give you sweets, and they want to meet you. And please, you know, come and just put on your best show for them." So the kids all looked at her, and they said, "Listen, we're not going to be some photo op for these people that wanna just take a picture with us and make it seem like they're helping us. Where were they when we were in the Holocaust? Why didn't they come and help us then? No, we're not going to come." So she says, "Please, please, just do it for me. Just come." So they said, "Fine, we're going to come, but we're not going to cooperate. We're just going to stare down at the ground, and we're not going to interact with them at all." Fine. So the next day it comes, and they're sitting there, everybody, 500 Holocaust youth with their heads down like this as the speakers go one after another, until finally she gets up, the head of the orphanage gets up and says to them, "Okay, children, for our last speaker, we have... I don't remember his name, but he was a Holocaust survivor himself who had lost his wife and his children in the Holocaust. And after the Holocaust, he had originally had a business in France, so he's able to get back to France. And he's been supporting the orphanage and children. You know, let's hear it from him." And so the other Holocaust survivor gets up, old man, trembling. He grabs the podium. He says three words in Yiddish, but he says, "Children, dear children." And that's it. He just starts bawling, and he sits back down. And at that point, all the children look up at him, and tears start to come down their cheeks. And they look at each other, and they see that they're not the only ones crying, but every single one of them is crying. And at that point, it's like the floodgates are opened, and they all start bawling for several minutes. And after they all compose themselves, one of them, the elder statesman, gets up, and he says, "I just want to speak on behalf of all of us. We didn't want you to come today. We didn't need your presents. We didn't need your sweets. But I want to thank you because what you did give us is something so deep and so profound that we were all missing, the ability to cry. Because I saw my parents killed and murdered and beat in front of my eyes, and I didn't cry. And in the camps, I saw countless of my friends and other Jews murdered, tortured by the Nazis, and I didn't shed a tear. And I started to doubt myself and wonder, after all these years of not being able to cry, am I even still human? Am I going to be able to have a family and show emotion? And now, what you've given to us, this ability to cry, is you made me realize that I'm a human again. You've shown me that I have a heart, and for that we thank you. Very powerful story. Throughout the year, you know, we may become jaded and desensitized to our actions, what we are or supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do as Jews, how we're supposed to act in relationships with others. Hashem gives us this gift of Rosh Hashanah every year to get us to stop and smell the roses, to recalibrate our relationship with Him and our actions in general. Rosh Hashanah is that framework for us to hear the cry of the shofar and let it pierce our hearts and stir within us that raw emotional desire to reconnect with Hashem. That's usually manifested through crying, through our tears. So, you know, whether you cry or not, because this, you know, this crying is meant to be an emotional expression, whether you express it through crying or through singing or through something else, however you express it, this crying is not one of sadness and depression or hopelessness and despair, but rather it's one of joy, knowing no matter what difficulties we may have had this past year in our personal lives, nationally, especially with Corona, with family members not being able to see each other, friends and family who are sick or worse. And yes, some of these are sad. But knowing that we have our relationship with Hashem, so we hope that this year on Rosh Hashanah, our tears will be those of Hazorim Bedima Berina, and ultimately we'll be able to Yiktzoru, to reap the greatness of Mashiach and the Geula coming very, very soon, Be'ezrat Hashem. And Hashem should hear our tefillos this year, Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's it. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima tova. Our tefillah should be answered. And besoro tovo to everybody.